SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. We're getting you ready for the upcoming Major League Baseball trade deadline. Going to affect a lot in fantasy baseball. Also, of course, fantasy football creeping closer. Teams today getting all of their players in training camp. Our previews team by team will begin next week right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Davis, very, very excited for fantasy football season. And you know me, I'm excited also for the baseball trade deadline. I think that over the next few days, I think that we're going to start to see some activity. So for your NFBC team and for my teams and everybody else, there's a little bit of nervousness because you could have some guys changing locations, less playing time, more saves, less saves, more saves, more steals, less steals. It's a big part of this game. It's coming soon.
Yeah, I am. I'm really excited for it. One of the things that you mentioned yesterday, Cody Bellinger getting traded, seems interesting. I think there's a lot of intrigue around this trade deadline because of Juan Soto. Now, I think you and I are both aligned that we don't think he's going to get moved at this trade deadline. But even just having that possibility is going to leave guys out there. There are definitely some teams who are unexpected buyers, the Seattle Mariners. Maybe the Baltimore Orioles, right? I don't think the Orioles are going to buy. The Mariners might, right? The Mariners might add a pitcher. The Mariners could go the other way, right? They could be like, look, nice season. It's fun here. But if you want to give us a pile of cash and a good young player for Ty France, you are more than welcome to have Ty France for a pile of cash and a good young player. So just, I think a lot of different things can happen. And as I mentioned yesterday, the Yankees and the Mets, I'm super dialed in to see what those two New York teams do.
Yeah, me too. And boy, I'll tell you, Davis, you're probably not wrong in your thinking, but my gosh, what message would that send to Mariners fans after 20 years of, waiting for the play? I personally cannot imagine that scenario playing out, even if it is close. But we will see, and we will know 1 week from today. Let's get to our headlines here on the show. Justin Ross, who was a hot name at the beginning of the best ball fantasy season as a possibility for like a long shot dart throw at wide receiver, he was placed on IR. He is going to miss the season, so no longer draft him. I think I saw Davis tweeting about that yesterday. Shareef O'Neal signs with the G League Ignite after going undrafted, the son of Shaquille O'Neal, of course. The show rolls on, Davis, for Dallas Keuchel. And I saw a lot of DFS fans yesterday rejoicing. My gosh, that's not nice for Dallas Keuchel's ERA. It's about 10. He's on the Rangers. And the Major League Baseball Players Association rejects Major League Baseball's international draft proposal. So, Davis, essentially, it's a long story, but I mentioned it yesterday. Essentially, what this means is that teams now know that players that they have on their team that are going to be free agents when they're negotiating these trades, like Luis Castillo or some others, right? When they know at the end of the season they could get a draft pick back, they can use that against other teams in making a trade. So they could say, hey, look, if we don't trade him, we know we're getting a draft pick if we let him go. That essentially is why we saw, I think, no trades up until now. So that's definitely a part of it. But Davis, I guess the two topics here, first of all, from your perspective, Justin Ross, does that really mean anything, you think, long-term in fantasy? I know he was a dart throw. And then Dallas Keuchel, are you rejoicing as well? Poor Dallas. I don't like to see that happen.
Yeah, I mean, it does. Look, it kind of stinks. There are a couple guys like this in Major League Baseball, guys who were just kind of legendary for giving up home runs. There was a guy, and I'm totally airballing his name now. This anecdote would have been a lot better if I remember his name. He was a left-handed starting pitcher. Feels like he pitched for every team in the American League. And he was the absolute giver of home runs. The guy would give up like three home runs every single start. And I remember Brandon McCarthy, who was really into fantasy football, telling me privately, he was like, dude, like you guys are like kind of being mean to who I know, this guy that I know who I've played with. It's like you don't need to rejoice over this guy being given another chance for hitting up all these home runs. So that was always kind of stuck with me. And then the Justin Ross thing. It doesn't really matter to me. I mean, he was a super exciting player at Clemson. As a true freshman, he had more yards than I think the guys he played with were He played with T. Higgins, he played with Travis Etienne, and he played with two other guys who are in the NFL now, and he led that Clemson team in receiving. But I think, unfortunately, the story of Justin Ross is going to just be a guy who's, you know, his candle burnt out a little bit too quickly because of injuries.
Yeah. No, and I think, look, that's going to be part of it with a lot of players. And by the way, I think, Davis, you make good points every year. I mean, look, Ja'Marr Chase is not a big dude. But, you know, you put 10 guys in the mix, Davis, that are his height, his weight, his speed, and it does feel like five or six of them don't make it. I mean, that's just a big part of playing in the NFL. You kind of have to be bigger. Chase is sort of an outlier amongst that. But no question, he's definitely at this point, Ross, probably on his last shot. But we certainly will see. And then obviously, Davis, what we have here is we have training. I mean, we're seeing, the players walk in the doors, right, for training camp. I feel like this is an episode of Hard Knocks today on social media.
Yeah, I love it. You know, we're already getting the blurbs. Zay Jones looks amazing in camp for the Jacksonville. Like, it's already happening. We're already getting, Travis Etienne, best shape of his life. Those are two Jaguars blurbs because it is 10 o'clock Central Time. So the Jaguars are the only team that are at practice right now, but yeah, we're into all this stuff. It's all coming.
Yep, and we'll have it for you every day right here on Fantasy Sports Today. As a matter of fact, as I mentioned, next week here on the show, as soon as we get the trade deadline over with, Davis and I are going to go deep diving into every single team in the NFL and the fantasy football ramifications where you should be drafting them. That's starting next week here on FFP, and we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. Fantasy football season, of course, best ball season is coming to a close, which means those of you, and I know that you're out there right now, you're searching for your fantasy football providers. I got the email, Davis, from my home league last week. Hey, what are we doing? What's the entry fee? The redraft is like year 30 something of our league. Like, well, are we switching sites? And, Davis, those conversations, why are they fun? The reason why they're fun is because it's getting close, right? Like that part of the clerical part is no fun because you got to pay and, in the end it stinks.
Right.
But that's what tells you things are getting close. So I feel like it's time for us to dive into some ADP decisions. And I know that you've been making these decisions every day.
Yeah. And, it's like always kind of interesting before training camp happens, before preseason happens, before the coaches have started to tell us like, oh, we really like this guy or, this guy's got to do a better job. A lot of our decision making is not really like informational based. It's sort of, it's sort of hunch based. Obviously, there's a lot of data that goes into it, but not a lot of the hard information. So I think there are obviously loads of these, but I have loaded up here. We got six. We'll get through as many as we can of just kind of like guys who are going right around the same pick at the same position that you kind of have to choose from.
Yeah, and I like this exercise. So let's talk about some running backs. And this, for a lot of people, is going to be really interesting because Najee Harris of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who had a really nice year last year, seems to be on the verge of even getting probably more playing time, I would guess, this year and more opportunities because their quarterback situation is a little bit unsettled. And I think regardless of that, Harris is going to get a lot of volume. Now, Dalvin Cook also is a possibility inside the top 10 here at pick 8. And that's the first decision here, Davis, that we're going to ask you if you have to make it who you would pick.
Okay, so I have Dalvin Cook here. And these guys do go right back to back with each other in ADP. Not any website I've not drafted on. Every website out there, but both of these guys are tail end of the first round picks. It's kind of like Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Najee Harris are kind of any of the guys you could take there. And, I'm going Dalvin Cook here. So one, I expect the offense to be a little bit better with this new head coach. Remember, this is a guy who learned under Sean McVay. We just saw the Rams win the Super Bowl running this offense. I kind of think everyone sort of universally agrees the Vikings just needed some new energy in that building. I think everyone was just kind of tired of each other. Zimmer was sick of answering questions about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins was sick of being the 11th best quarterback in the NFL instead of the 5th best quarterback in the NFL, right? This is pretty much Dalvin Cook's last year, I think, of being, you know, capital D, capital C, Dalvin Cook, before they start to try and kind of have, you know, add someone in there to help with him. He is, I believe he's got $63 million left on his contract, signed that huge extension two off seasons ago. So I got Dalvin here, and I expect them to be better than the Steelers as well.
All right, so there you go. Dalvin Cook over Harris for Davis. Let's now move on to wide receiver. You and I were both big fans last year of T. Higgins. Higgins won some playoff leagues for people last year, but was super inconsistent, man. Like, I think that was the one thing. It was kind of like this trade-off with him and Chase for a while, and then Chase just went wild. A.J. Brown may be, Davis, the most talented receiver in the NFL. I think that's definitely possible. The second he came back, he showed why. Obviously, new team for him, so that's going to change the equation. And ADP around the second round for both players, so you have to pick one. Who's it going to be?
Yeah, these guys are wide receiver 10 and wide receiver 11 in ADP. And honestly, this is not a spot I'm looking to take a huge stand on. Now, you know, there's a difference between doing what I'm doing, which is I'm drafting fantasy teams every single day. You know, I'll probably have 400 best ball teams by the time we get there, right? Most people are not weird like me, right? Most people are, you know, maybe they play in three leagues, maybe they play in four leagues. I think this is maybe even a little bit controversial. If that was my scenario, I would take A.J. Brown, because T, as long as Ja'Marr Chase is going to be healthy, he is going to be the number two guy, whereas A.J. Brown could be Voltron in Philadelphia, right? Devontae Smith never out-targeting him. Dallas Goedert never out-targeting him. And I think A.J. Brown is phenomenal. I think he is so, so talented. And the Eagles have kind of, you know, done a lot of talking up, of passing the ball more, you know, buying into Jalen Hurts. And I think they really want to see what they have in Hurts. So I'm siding with A.J. Brown.
All right. And then finally at running back, we have one player who, you know, just basically was on the 1 yard line scoring touchdowns all season. And another one, would you believe, first pick overall in fantasy football? I think this was 3 years ago. This is not that far back, Davis. James Conner, who was a touchdown machine, Ezekiel Elliott, who, if I remember last fantasy football season going in, it was like a 50-50, you know, split here, where there were 50% of the people thought, oh, you know, it was just a down year for him and Dak was hurt, he'll be back. And then the other 50% were like, nah, he's done. You're not hearing a lot of support for Ezekiel Elliott going into the season, but at the same time, I mean, is that a sustainable fantasy number for James Conner based off all of those goal line touchdowns last year?
Yeah, this one seems crazy, right? Because both of these guys are, you know, they're a banana that's been left out on the counter a little bit too long, right? We're starting to see some bruises on these bananas. You're starting to think about putting them in the freezer to make some banana bread. You know, with both these guys, they're both on, James Conner's actually on his third contract. Ezekiel Elliott is halfway through his second contract. Both of them have talented younger runners on the roster. So Keontae Ingram and Eno Benjamin for James Conner, and then Darrell Williams there on third downs as well. And then everyone who watches football at this point is just waiting for Tony Pollard to take over for Ezekiel Elliott. I side James Conner here, but I am also prepared, Craig, for a healthy Ezekiel Elliott. Remember, he was fighting through that knee and ankle injury last season. I am prepared for a healthy Ezekiel Elliott to absolutely bury me. And it'll be a sad outcome for the season, but it could totally happen.
Nah, not going to happen. I don't think you're going to worry about that, unfortunately. But once upon a time, a great pick in fantasy for sure. All right, now let's go to the quarterback position. And boy, I'll tell you, I find this one really intriguing. I'm probably going to be one of those, Davis, that's going to take a big stand against Russell Wilson. I don't know. I'm not totally convinced that he's going to just be who he was in Seattle. And I like Trey Lance. I mean, you really sold me last season on Trey Lance. And what do we talk about in fantasy? It's the guy who runs the ball. And if Trey Lance can't throw real well, Davis, this guy's going to be running all over the place. Seven carries, 50 yards. Four carries, 50 yards, 60 yards. Oof, I don't know. I'm a little torn here on this. It's interesting.
So I'm very torn on this as well, because, you know, the way these guys get there is exactly opposite. Like, Russell Wilson, done running at this stage of his career, right? You know, I think you'd be surprised to get 300 rushing yards and 4 rushing touchdowns out of him. You know, maybe twice this year he'll have a game where he scrambles for a touchdown or something, and that'll be a nice little bonus for him. But you got to go Trey Lance here, right? Even if Russell Wilson throws for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns and does, you know, the Peyton Manning thing, right? Peyton Manning goes to Denver and resuscitates his career with Eric Decker and Julius Thomas and Demaryius Thomas and all those great players, which is really the same situation that Russ is going into with Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and all these guys, right? Lance is still going to beat him if he plays 17 games because rushing is really just that unfair. If you extrapolate the rushing attempts per game and the 2 starts that Trey Lance had last season, he would break Lamar Jackson's single season record for rushing attempts by a quarterback. And I think that's frankly what the 49ers are going to have to do, because I'm not convinced Lance is there as a passer. You know, I think that's going to be slow. So I got Lance here.
We have a minute left. Let's just pull up the final 2 here. Devonta Smith and Drake London, TJ Hawkinson and Dalton Schultz. I mean, I guess I personally don't have strong opinions on any 4 of these players, although I feel like I get burnt by Hawkinson every year.
Yeah, and I'm going to get burnt by Hawkinson again. I'm buying into the Lions. I think the Lions are going to be a fiery, competitive team this year. I'm buying in, so I got Hawkinson.
All right, we got a Tuesday full slate of Major League Baseball. Our DFS preview over on DraftKings is next. Stay on the grid. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm going to let Davis handle all of the pricing today and help you give your picks so you can win some money tonight on DraftKings, but I'm going to give you my public service announcement, and I'm sure Davis will endorse this as well. It is trade season, so whatever we're doing here on this show and whatever picks we are giving you here on this show, you cannot just blindly put into your lineup and go about your business. Things can happen every single day from now until the 2nd of August. So, Davis, for you too, by the way, if you're playing a $100 entry, a $50 entry, a $2 entry probably doesn't matter, but if you're playing a big entry, I mean, you got to pay attention to what's going on now, because you just could literally be throwing your money away with a player being traded. So that's my public service announcement to get started here.
Yeah, you gotta be on hug watch right now. And I mean, look, right. Around trade deadline, mostly if the GM is in trade talks, they will probably communicate to the manager and to the front office like, hey, maybe don't put Josh Bell in the lineup today because Josh Bell might be, you know, a Texas Ranger by the end of the day or whatever. But I have had this happen to me. I have got a hug watch guy, started the game, took a couple at-bats, pitched a couple innings, and then was removed because of a trade. So, yeah, you got to be careful. Knowing what's going on inside of every MLB front office, but certainly we are getting into the part of the season. And also another thing with starting pitcher selections is look at some of these lineups that come out. A team, you know, some of these teams might be fielding weaker lineups because they're holding out their 2 guys who do have some trade value, right? You know, maybe the Reds are leaving out Joey Votto or something like, you know, although the Reds are really good, right? The Reds are kind of in a hot run right now, yeah. Right? But definitely pay attention to some of these lineups because some of these teams might be fielding weaker lineups.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to shock yourself, take a look at the Reds' record after April. It's like, you know, like contending. It's crazy. They just had such a bad April to put them out 11 runs last night. All right, starting pitchers, Davis, let's get it going. The Braves, boy, they make all the right moves, don't they? Spencer Strider, he's a reliever. No, never mind. He's a starter. 8,700 tonight for the Atlanta Braves. This guy's going to be pitching in the postseason for sure. And then, boy, you really don't see Davis spend up big for a guy like this at pitcher, but you are unloading tonight on Shane McClanahan of the Rays.
Yeah. So first off, I'm just obsessed with Spencer Strider, right? This 8th inning guy who then comes to being a starting pitcher. And he is just blown away some teams. He did have a bad start against the Washington Nationals his last time out. He only got through four innings pitch, five earned runs, only struck out four. But before that, eight strikeouts against the Mets, 12 strikeouts against the Cardinals, 11 strikeouts against Cincinnati, even got through six innings clean against the Los Angeles Dodgers. I know the Phillies have this good hitting lineup. I don't even care. Like, put this guy against the 27 Yankees at 8,700, and I don't care because I think he can get double-digit strikeouts pretty much any given start. And then McClanahan, you know, people thought he was really good, right? People were like, you know, he's a good starting pitcher. Like, you know, he could be a number one. Maybe he's a number two right now. Whatever the preseason expectations of McClanahan were, he has absolutely dusted them off. 1.71 ERA, 35% strikeout rate, almost 36%, and only a 4% walk rate. I mean, he is the best starting pitcher in baseball up until this point. How long is he going to keep this going? Is he going to get tired? Are the Rays going to do what they always do, where they start to limit their young guys? Like, are they going to have him skip some starts? Like, what are they going to do? I don't know. Like, I can't pretend to know. But what I do know is that he's better than Max right now, better than Garrett Cole right now. But I think he's got to be the best, right? I mean, no one's touched him in terms of results so far this season.
Sandy probably. Sandy Alcantara would be the only one.
Yeah, but Sandy doesn't have the pure strikeout stuff. McClanahan is striking out more guys, but you do feel better about Alcantara getting deeper into games. Like, he could just go eight innings in any given start. So I would say that's probably
fair.
The difference.
It's very close. I think if you looked at the overall numbers, McClanahan probably edges him a little because of the strikeouts. I think that's fair. But the other thing too, let's be honest, Tampa Bay is a better team. They give you a better chance to get the W on DraftKings. That's true too. All right, let's take a look at the lineup tonight that Davis has set. We have Max Stassi. We're still going with Angels, I guess, here. 3,200. Luke Voit of San Diego is 3,800 tonight. Nolan Gorman all the way down to 2,900. His name has popped up in some trade stuff too, I've heard. Yoan Moncada is 4,000. And then rock solid Tim Anderson of the White Sox, 5,100 tonight.
So just a little bit of a cautionary thing as we get into these salaries. I don't know what at our friends at DraftKings were doing tonight, but the Chicago White Sox are going to go play in Coors Field against the Colorado Rockies. And you know, whoever's job it is to flip the switch, the Coors switch, you know, write it in the code. This game is taking place in Coors. They forgot to press the button. The Chicago White Sox guys are priced. I mean, they're playing against Herman Marquez, who I guess is not bad. Like, Herman Marquez is not, you know, a total trash can. He's fine. But these guys are basically priced like they're playing a game, you know, at home at U.S. Cellular. So, Moncada, 4,000. Tim Anderson, 5,100. We'll get to more of these guys in the outfield as well. And luckily for the St. Louis Cardinals, they are not playing at home in St. Louis, because if they were, this game would have been PPD'd already. It is biblical proportions of rain outside here right now. So they're in Toronto. Nolan Gorman, you know, Jose Berríos, he's still working through. I don't really know what he's working through, but he's working through something because he has been awful this season. And I do kind of like the Cardinal spot. And Nolan Gorman, 2,900, just real cheap. Luke Voit, just like a good right-handed power bat. And they have this matchup against the Tigers, and none of the Tigers guys particularly scare you right now. None of their starters, none of their bullpen guys. So feel good there. And then Stassi, I mean, he's been batting fifth. He's got the platoon advantage tonight. And that is the absolute kindest thing I can say about the Angels right now, because they stink.
Yeah, I think the biggest, the Tigers are a pretty big disappointment too, I think, to a degree. I definitely thought they'd be like sniffing 500, and that's not close. I mean, we are, you know, God willing, you and I doing this show next February, you are not selling me on the Angels. Like, it's just not happening, man. Like, I mean,
well, hopefully Ohtani will be gone, right? That's now what I'm hoping for. I'm so mad at the Angels. I'm so done with, you know, what is it? The Angels have not won a game that Ohtani didn't start since May. It's like, just enough. Get this guy, Houston, pony up for. By the way, why are the Dodgers not just saying, we will give you as much cash as Major League Baseball will let us give you, Cody Bellinger, and can you trade picks? in baseball? Like, why are they? Why is Ohtani not a Dodger?
You could trade the comp picks. They have a kid of the Dodgers named Andy Pages. You can do a quick Google. That's like their top hitting guy that I think is going to be on the move.
Get him to the Dodgers. Get him to the Dodgers.
The Angels, I mean. Yeah. I'll tell you, you know what's interesting? Somebody brought this up to me. The biggest stock jump in all of baseball this season is not a player. It's probably Joe Maddon. Think about that, right? It's probably Joe Maddon. They've been awful. They were never good, but they've been awful since he left. I think he's going to get a job immediately wherever he wants to go next year. All right, let's go to the outfield here. Here's who we're going with tonight. Coors Field game, as Davis mentioned. So Andrew Vaughn and Eloy Jimenez both get in. $4,300 for Vaughn and $3,900 for Eloy Jimenez, and then Tyler O'Neill of the Cardinals at $3,800.
So, as I said, I don't know what they're Eloy Jimenez $3,900 in Coors Field against Germán Marquez. Like, what is he get? 20% owned, 25% owned. Even, and I guess, you know, I guess it is a 13 game slate, and you know, this is not the only really attractive run environment we have. It's a bullpen game for the Cardinals in Toronto, so I think the Toronto guys should be fairly popular. I'm wondering if anyone is going to go back to the Angels. The Royals are pitching a guy who I have never heard of today from Double A. Angel Zerpa is the starting pitcher for the Kansas City Royals today, so I wonder if anyone is going to be going back to the Angels. I mean, Dylan Bundy against the Brewers, like, you know, there are a lot of different ways you can go, but Tyler O'Neill, I mentioned, I like this matchup for the Cardinals, and then Vaughn and Jimenez locked into being in the lineup because Louis Robert is on the IL right now.
Yeah. So, hey, look, Coors game tonight. Interesting note from Davis there on the pricing for the Coors Field game. I think you're right. I mean, to have so many players under 4,200, 4,100 in this game tonight doesn't seem right, so maybe that is your tip to help you win tonight on DraftKings. That's our look at the daily fantasy slate here on this Tuesday. Of course, we give this to you every day right up until the Major League Baseball trade deadline, and maybe we'll mix in some DFS picks as well as we move forward here on the show. But coming up next, it's time for some fantasy or reality, and something happened yesterday that, gosh, it really caught my eye. And honestly, for those of you who have ever needed like a snack and just happened to be at a gas station, let's be honest, we've all done it before, and walked over to that ice cream cart. I've done it before. I'll fully admit it. There's one of my go-tos is something that we're going to talk about next, the Choco Taco. I know it has nothing to do with fantasy sports, but we've all been there. You know, if you're watching right now, you've been there before. You gotten gas. You go over there. You're like, let me see what's... Oh, Choco Taco's there. You picked it up. You probably ate it. That is one of the focuses coming up next. You got to check this out for fantasy or reality. So stay on the grid with us, as we're back in just a couple of minutes. Also, make sure you join me this afternoon, 2 o'clock Eastern, for Newswire. We'll get into a lot of what's going on in Major League Baseball and also with the training camp opening in the NFL. Daniel Wallach will be part of our show today. So make sure you join us for Newswire, 2 o'clock Eastern, exclusively right here on Sports Grid. And we'll be back with Fantasy Reality next, right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, with fantasy football season coming, there's only one place that I want you to be this upcoming fantasy football season on social media, and that is right here on Sports Grid. So here's what you do. You follow us on Twitter, at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. We'll give you all of our fantasy content throughout the day. Rebecca and her team constantly posting content. I am quite sure our fantasy football stuff will make it on our social media handles, so make sure you follow us there, at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. And also, you can follow Davis on Twitter, at Davis Matic. You can follow me on Twitter, at Craig Mish, although I don't tweet a ton of fantasy football content. I got to be honest, I don't. That's Davis's thing. You know me, Davis. I'm tweeting a lot of baseball content. People always ask me, like, during fantasy football season, given the fact that I play so much, like you, with you, why I don't tweet so much. So here's what I do. I just hit the retweet button. much easier. Everything that you're saying, I just retweet. Everything Sports Grid says, I just retweet. My point gets across.
There we go. I mean, that's the way to do it. I'm the opposite. I mean, I wish I could do that. My brain is so, millennialed out. I can't ever divorce myself from Twitter. I really wish I could. Honestly, it's the worst. Like, who wants to be on Twitter that much every single day? It's a lot.
During baseball trade deadlines and winners, it's embarrassing. My phone, the screen time, it's embarrassing. But conversely, when it is not that time, like, people think that I'm constantly, because I get so many questions about the Marlins, like, it just doesn't stop. And they're like, you didn't, like, answer my question so quickly. You know why? Because I'm not on there. I'm not sitting on there all day long. I'm not all that interested in, in these, crazy stories that are out there. I don't know. I guess I just have other things to do. But regardless of that, here's what we do on the show every day for first time watching. At the end, fantasy or reality? All right, here we go, Davis. A week till the Major League Baseball trade deadline. And by the way, I think this could apply to football as well. Any Viking wouldn't go to a Bear. Any Dolphin probably wouldn't go to a Patriot unless they, like, absolutely had to. I mean, I guess Devontae Parker got traded there too. So, I mean, I guess it can happen. But in general, most teams shy away from trading within a division, because in the end, in football, you know it's going to be playing against them a couple times of the year, maybe three, and it's embarrassing when the other player, like the revenge game, we've heard that in fantasy, right? And then in baseball, sure. Oh my gosh, it's 18 times, right? Like, it's 18 times you're playing against each other. And by the way, in the NBA, we hear the same thing, right? Within the East, within the West, within the divisions. So I would ask you, Davis, and maybe we can paint a better scenario here. Fantasy or reality, you would trade a superstar, and actually this is because Juan Soto's name's popping up. You would trade a superstar in your division.
Yeah, I mean, reality for me, if I'm calling the shots for one of my favorite teams, you know, the Chiefs, the Royals, whoever, I'm doing this if the package that is being offered inside my division is the best package. So I think in baseball, packages are so opaque because it's like, our prospect's going to be good. Yeah, sure, he's the number one prospect in baseball, but is he the number one prospect like Trout was the number one prospect, or is he the number one prospect like, you know, Mark Apple was the number one pitching prospect, right? Like there are definitely varying degrees. In basketball, I think the packages are super clear, right? Like, you generally know how good guys are. You generally know if a pick is going to be good or not. With basketball, they do the protections on the picks, so huge difference between a lottery protected first and an unprotected first, or a top five versus a top 10 that turns into a second round. Like, the NBA CBA is so labyrinthian. And to be honest, I think the best trade package for Kevin Durant comes from the Toronto Raptors with Scottie Barnes in it, but they're not going to do that. All the reporting has been Scottie Barnes not on the table. We are not trading Scottie Barnes and matching salary for Kevin Durant. But Adrian Wojnarowski reported yesterday that Jaylen Brown was at least proffered, right? They had a conversation about a trade package surrounding Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant. And those two teams have history, right? Because how did Jaylen Brown end up on the Boston Celtics? The Brooklyn Nets traded the pick that became Jaylen Brown to the Boston Celtics for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. They play in the same division. They played each other in the playoffs each of the last two seasons. With the Nets won the first time, the Celtics won the second time. I would do it. If I was the Nets, 100% I would do this trade. But I would not do it if I was the Boston Celtics. But the overall answer is reality. 100% I would do this if the best offer comes from the division.
Okay. So just to be clear, I'm asking the question, then I'll give my answer. You would, if you're the Nationals, you would trade Juan Soto to the Mets.
Baseball is the bottom sport. So of the four major sports, baseball would be the sport I would least likely to do it because, okay, one, you see them so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why it's a fantasy. Yeah. It's a fantasy for me. A star. See, I'm going by the wording. A star I would trade. A superstar I would not. I think that the ramifications from this could potentially be really embarrassing. And the reason why Davis isn't initially, it's never initially in a superstar trade. Because, and let's just use Soto, because it's baseball and it's me. Let's use Soto as an example. They trade Soto to the Mets. Mets go on to win the World Series. No one cares. No one in Washington's going to be upset. They're just going to sit back and watch. Why? Because they know they have five or six guys coming down the line that are going to help beat the Mets in the future. But Davis, what happens if they don't? And what happens if they're all busts? And it is going to be really hard for that organization to have to stomach watching Soto beating their brains in every single day. I got fantasy. I am not doing a superstar. A star of some kind? Yeah, sure. But the line has to be crossed. If this is a generational type of player, and even Durant, I think, falls in that category, I don't want to get burned by getting nothing back in the future and having shows like ours talk about how bad the trades were in the history of sports. So fantasy for me on the superstar. All right, let's move on to the Chicago Bears. Naturally, the Bears did renovate their stadium, but there is some talk eventually that they're going to get a new one again, or they're going to put a roof on the current one that they have. And so look, Soldier Field, one of the more iconic stadiums in all of sports. I don't know, Davis, where you think it ranks, top 5, top 10, top 15, probably somewhere, top 15, I would say, in all of sports, maybe top 10. Fantasy or reality, the Chicago Bears should always play home games outside in the snow and wear navy helmets.
I got reality on this for the foreseeable future. I mean, I do think one of the things that also a lot of baseball teams are going to learn this, but you know, the climate is becoming more and more predictable or unpredictable. Hotter temperatures everywhere, colder temperatures everywhere. Precipitation is increasing. I mean, this is just a fact of the world that we live in. The climate, the temperature, the weather is becoming more and more unpredictable. And I think that we might get to a spot where it is not feasible to have a, you know, I mean, the NFL is a multi-billion dollar business. And I don't, remember the snowstorm game for the Vikings where they had to end up playing on Wednesday night? Like, that's like moving heaven and earth to play these games outdoors. I think it's just not going to be worth it. But I would say, you know, keep Soldier Field exactly as it is. Don't put a dome on it. Don't move it. Don't, you know, restructure down. I don't know if you've ever been to Soldier Field, but it's really incredible. It's great to go to a game there. Yeah. Don't change Soldier Field until you absolutely have to, in my opinion.
Wow, Davis with the old man take. I can't believe it. Wow, this is shocking. So I have not been to Soldier Field. There was a time in my covering sports life, and it's been an interesting one nonetheless, and I hope I'm not done by any stretch, but there was a time where I traveled with the Buccaneers, and there was a time that I traveled with the Dolphins, and this is going on several years. Somehow I never got to Soldier Field. I don't know why. I went to Green Bay several times, so I could definitely speak to that. So, Davis, I'm going to play your role here on the show. I got fantasy. I mean, should play away. Yeah, I got fantasy. Come on, man. Like, put a dome on that thing. Like, seriously. Right. Yes, it's football. Yes, I get it. And it's cool to see games in the snow. But what we've learned through the years, now that we've actually, I mean, I think fantasy kind of changed things a little bit. Like, you don't want your players playing in snow games in fantasy.
No, you don't. You really don't. No, like, I, like I would say, Green Bay and Chicago only. Everyone else should have a dome, but let those two teams keep the outdoor stadiums.
All right. Well, I mean, there's a lot of outdoor stadiums that are not going to change. I got fantasy. Put a dome on it. I want games to be played where the games are nice. I mean, those games in Cleveland with the wind the last couple of years.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah, no good. Dome them all, as far as I'm concerned. Fantasy for me. We're opposite on both these today. All right, finally, let's close it out. If you were watching the show about 10 minutes ago, you heard me speak about this a little bit, so let me get into that discussion again. I saw this story pop yesterday that Choco Tacos are no more. Choco Tacos are not going to be produced anymore. And for those of you who do not know what a Choco Taco is, probably deserves a 30-second explanation. So this is basically an ice cream treat that is in a waffle cone, but it's in the shape of, and it looks like a taco. Has vanilla ice cream, has chocolate on top. Why do I know so much about this? I think the answer is probably obvious, but I'm going to wait before I reveal it because we always go to Davis first on these. So I'll start with you, Davis. You like Choco Tacos, fantasy or reality?
Yeah, total reality. I mean, I have a huge sweet tooth in general, but I love all ice cream novelties, right? Like the ice cream man, I still live in a neighborhood where we have an ice cream truck. He'll drive, you know, it's hot, it's 100 degrees outside. He's driving around out there. I will go and flag him down. Love all these. Now, my go-to though is the drumstick. Always unbelievable, right? You got the waffle cone and the Choco Taco, very similar, right? These are definitely in the same vein. But yeah, 100% reality. Love these. Sad to see them go. I mean, I what is the logic? Like, are they too expensive to produce? I don't even know. Like, what is? I don't. It makes very little sense to me.
Yeah, but have you ever bought a Choco Taco outside of a gas station or like a convenience store? Have you ever?
I would bet I have bought like a box of four of them at the grocery store before. I would bet that I have.
Store. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen them. Strawberry shortcake was the other one.
Maybe I'm making it up.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so of course I like Choco Tacos. I have not had one in a while. Years, I'm going to guess. But I was not pleased to see this go away. So on my list for the remainder of 2022, absolutely going to find my local gas station, going to pop in, get myself a Choco Taco, and have one last one for the road. No question. Do I like Choco Tacos? Yes. Not something I eat a lot, but definitely. And I'm more of a Ben and Jerry's ice cream kind of guy. All right. Anyway, that will do it for Fantasy or Reality, but we have more to come here on the show. We got the Sports Grid 60, and then coming up in less than 10 minutes from now, it is the Early Line with Kevin and Donnie. So make sure you stay tuned to that. And then we have Newswire coming your way at 2:00 Eastern, where we go roundtable with our guests from the Sporting News and also from Legal Sports Report. And also Daniel Wallach from Wallach Legal joins us on the show. So what we do is we keep you updated on everything happening in sports wagering. That's 2:00 Eastern to 3:00 Eastern today. And also don't forget, as I mentioned earlier in the show, for those of you who are starving for fantasy football content, I don't know why, because it's still July. But coming up next month, which is next week, we're going to start our team-by-team previews in fantasy football. We'll give you the average draft position, who we like, who we don't like, who you should be drafting, who you shouldn't be drafting, because naturally the preseason begins next week as well. So stay on the grid. We'll be back with more. It is the Sports Grid 60, and then we're out of here for this Tuesday morning and afternoon, depending on where you're watching. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Make sure you stay tuned. The Early Line is coming up in just a few minutes. And then, of course, we have Newswire at 2:00 Eastern. But before we do all that, we got to end the show today. Here's what we do. We send it over to Davis, and he delivers today's Sports Grid 60.
So we'll probably talk about this a little bit more later this week with our buddy Dubs Anderson when he joins the show to talk about golf. But really, really bad week of golf on the PGA Tour this week. This is probably the worst that they have felt it since the induction of the LIV Tour. It is the regular season golf events. This is the lowest field strength event, 40th out of 40 field strength event on the PGA Tour. They're playing, I don't know, some dumb live event over in England this week. Bryson and Dustin are playing, whatever, we'll see. But just, it would be really nice if in the doldrums right now where there is no baseball or no basketball, no hockey, and we're going to pass the trade deadline, less exciting after that for me, at least anyway, it would be nice if there was some great golf on TV right now, and we're really not going to see it.
Yeah. No, it feels like the end of the golf season is here, just in time for football. So the Breaking Bad universe is coming to an end. Better Call Saul is down to the last three episodes. I think it's interesting for those of you who are interested. Better Call Saul has been getting a lot of talk that it's even better than Breaking Bad. I ended up watching Breaking Bad. I watched Better Call Saul. And I got to tell you, I think there not only is there a chance that Better Call Saul is better than Breaking Bad, there's a chance that Better Call Saul is going to go down as one of the best TV shows in the last decade. I mean, this show is so good, And it is one of the very few things that I'm actually going to miss. I know that there's been a lot of good shows on, and, you know, Stranger Things and, you know, Kirby Enthusiast. But this show is really one of the best shows I've ever seen. No question. Hope you guys give it a chance. That'll do it for the show. Thanks to our graphics department and, of course, over at LTN, our producer, Brett Levy, and my co-host, David Craddock. I'm Craig Mitch. We'll be back here at 2 o'clock Eastern for News Live.